And well, it gets a little clearer, for I'm in the glory land. Glory land.
Amen. Good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. You look good. You look wonderful. You look better if you smile just a little bit. You glad to be alive?
Yes.
Are we blessed?
Yes.
Do you love God?
Yes.
I really love. If you love him, sing it like you love him. Oh, well, I really love the Lord, and you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. One more time. Sing it like you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. Oh, well, I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. And you don't know what he's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave
me the victory.
Yes, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord, and you don't do what? Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me. Oh, yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you're visiting with us this morning at the Fifth Ward Church, you are our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We're just happy to be here this morning. I've been on a series of lessons we entitled Lifeology. Lifeology. I intended for this to be the last lesson in the series, although last night something came to my heart, and I almost got out of the bed. I did get out of the bed to write some things down I had been studying. So I'm not sure if this is the last lesson, but we'll just have to see. We know that lifeology is not an official word. We know the Word of God tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him that's called us by his own glory and excellence, as the Bible has gives us everything we need to live, every principle, every rule, every command that will enrich our lives because they come from God. And so we look at man writes secular books and trying to for us to improve ourselves to make ourselves better successful, but they are pale compared to what God has already told us.
Amen.
And many of the principles that man uses in these books, you'll find that I don't know if they know it or not, but most of them, many of them come from God's word. And we have used part of Hal Urban's book, Life's Greatest Lessons, as some of our subject titles. Titles have been Life is Hard and Not Always Fair. Enjoy life. Habits are the key to success. Good people build their lives on a foundation of respect. Honesty is still the best policy. It's okay to fail. I believe the last lesson we delivered was there's no substitute for hard work. And I wanted to do the lesson today. I entitled it Maximize Your Circumstances. This didn't come from Hal Urban's book. It came from the Word of God. And subslash own your attitude. That was my intended lesson for the day, and I might get to a part of that lesson, but I want to because see, some of us sometimes in life, see, there are some circumstances that you don't have a choice over, and sometimes we think we are dealt a bad hand. See, for instance, you didn't have a choice on what family you were born in. See, you were born, and hello, you somebody's child. You're in somebody's house, and you'd had no choice over that. But God allowed that to happen. And see, I know sometimes if we had to pick our own family, we might would have picked somebody else. But you didn't have that choice. But you had to live with that choice. But there are some circumstances that we choose. We have power to decide whether or not we're going to be in this circumstance. And I just for a minute, I want you to follow the theme, do your homework. I don't want anybody to have a guilt trip about this, because see, we know all of us make mistakes and have made mistakes. We've made bad decisions, but before you learn how to deal, because I believe the Bible gives us the whereabouts, the means, the ability to live in any circumstances. It gives us the tools to do that. Sometimes we don't do it, sometimes we don't see it, but God gives us the tools that we need to deal with any circumstance. But see, some circumstances we put ourselves in. We put ourselves in. No need in beating ourselves. There are some decisions I made when I was younger that I wish I had not made. And guess what? I have paid and am paying the consequence for some of those decisions and choices that I made. But I have to live with that, don't I? We have to live with that, don't we? But Lord have mercy. Even if we made some bad decisions and bad choices, we don't have to keep making the same bad choices. Because there are principles in the Bible. If you keep violating, these principles, they're going to keep hitting you right upside the head. I don't care where you are in life, because every day is filled with a series of choices. We are the products of choices that we make. And if we're not making choices for ourselves, then guess what? Somebody else is. And it's especially to our young people in here this morning, the sooner you can grasp the responsibility of making your own choices, as soon as you can grasp the principle that I make my choices and I'm responsible for my choices, the better. Amen. That's why parenting is so important. And that'd be when you're young, it's decisions that you can't make for yourself. You hope your parents can guide you in the right way. That doesn't always happen all the time. But if you're at the age of accountability and you can listen to these words this morning, you need to use the Bible to make wise choices in your life. Now, we're talking about living every day. We're talking about us not just surviving, but thriving as we live our lives In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Everybody all right this morning? You looking a little stale like you were this morning. Listen to the word of God. Joshua says, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose choose for your, notice, you have the power, Joshua, he led them. This is, matter of fact, this is closer to Joshua is in older age when he tells this to the people. And he says this, after he's led them, they've gone through battles and they've seen God at work. And Joshua still has to tell these people, look, you need to make a choice. In other words, you need to make up your mind what you're going to do. He said, choose you this day. To choose you this day, yourselves today, whom you will serve. And you got to understand what that means. See? Because sometimes I know, as I've read it in the past, you hear that, well, some of us almost think it's choose where you, how you're going to worship God. Or choose where you're going to, where your allegiance is to God. Choose who you're going to serve means more than choose what church you're going to on Sunday. Yeah, see, it means choosing what is going to guide every area of your life. That's what it means. See, Joshua said, you choose this day what standards you're going to use for your relationships. You choose this day what standards you're going to use for raising your children. You choose this day what standards you're going to use for how you're acting when you are at work. Choose you this day how you're going to act when you're at play. Choose you this day. What career, what's the standards for the career you're going to involve yourself in? Joshua is saying, you choose this day who is going to rule your life. And that's a major choice. And that's what he told him. You choose who you're going to serve. And I thought about that. I said, Lord have mercy. Joshua was, I don't know if he was angry, if he was mad. You be around people and they wishy-washy. And sometimes people this way one day, another way another day. But he says, you know what? You need to make your choice. And Joshua was speaking from, he says, as for me. As for me. That's what he said. Whether the gods which your father served, he tells them, he goes back to the past because, see, the way we make wise choices, sometimes we make these choices of our own experience, of what we feel, but he says, you choose whether you're going to serve the gods, the little gods of your father, because your father served somebody other than God. He says, are you going to serve the same gods they say, which were beyond the river? Are the gods of the Amorites? Are there heathens among you? And you see who they serve, idol gods, false gods, in whose land you are living, all kinds of religions they serve. But Joshua said, but as for me and my house, he says, I'm speaking for me. Now, this is what we want us to do today. We want you to speak for yourself. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, my children in my house, we are going to serve. Well, our standards are going to be God's standards. And that's the way we go. That's the choice that we're going to make. And because choices, Lord have mercy, choices will make us or break us. Yes, they will. And they will determine what kind of life we're going to live. The younger we can learn that, the better. Amen, old folks?
Amen.
Yeah, the younger we can learn that, the better. You can make your life. They have a saying that don't make your bed hard. Because if you make your bed hard, you have to lay on that bed. Lord have mercy. Some of us got some hard beds right now from decisions we made 25 years ago. Yeah, but we're laying in that bed. We're laying in that bed. But our choices, and you have control over your choice. Take responsibility of your choices. Viktor Frankl, the world-renowned psychiatrist, he survived the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, and he was one of the few survivors, and he saw many of his colleagues and his family members killed, and he saw many of them give up as they were in prison camps, and many of them committed suicide. But Victor said he didn't, and he wrote this. He said that everything can be taken from a man but one thing. says the last of the human freedoms, and that is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance. He says to choose one's way. We can become victims of our circumstances, or we can become victorious over them. And I hope none of us give up the right, give up what God has given us, that he's given no other creature, that he's given us the ability and the right to choose our own way. I hope you don't give that up, because we need to take responsibility for what decisions that we make, and we need to use what God has given us. But you know what? In order to choose, it takes some wisdom. Yeah, it takes some wisdom. It takes, you know, see, wisdom is what gives us the ability to make the right choices, the wise choices. Proverbs writer wrote in Proverbs 8:11, for wisdom is better than jewels. It says, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Do you hear what the Bible says? It says, if you have the ability to make sound, wise choices, that's better than money. It says, and there is nothing that you can desire, because I can give you $1 million, and if you're a fool with it, you won't have it very long. And he says that wisdom is better than jewels. And God knows this, because, see, it is what we use to make choices in our lives. This is in the Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Proverbs 4, 5. Acquire wisdom, or get wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. Love her, and she will watch over you. And see, so we need to, in order to make wise choices, we got to do our homework, church. You know, we got to learn off of our prior and former experiences, and learn from others, and learn from God's word. We have to do our homework in order. See, and I would say, do your homework before you make final choices. See, that's some choices is just final, you know. That's why was a couple of sides they want to get married. You know, I know a couple of say, "Bro, Gary, I want you to marry him." I say, "Well, we need to counsel. We need to talk a little bit." And most couples agree to a counseling session to talk, because you just want to kind of fill them out to see, you know, if they going into it with their eyes open, that they are not clouded. Because you know, especially when you're young, you think everything is great. I mean, the person looks right, and their flaws, you just diminish them. Oh, that's not that bad. Yes, sir. But you better do your homework, sister. Yeah, you better do your homework and see. It takes wisdom to see. Joshua was with Moses when Moses was in charge of all of the people. Joshua saw. He saw how people grumbled and they complained. Joshua saw how Moses continually called on the Lord. And he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, these people are complaining. Please give them something to eat." And God gave them manna to eat every day. God gave them water. Joshua saw how a cloud followed them by day, and Moses gave all the credit to God. God saw how Moses took his rod, and God split the Red Sea open, and they walked across on dry land. God saw how Joshua saw how God gave victory after victory, and Joshua had come to the point that he could make a wise decision, not only for himself, but for his own people. And that's why he said, "That's for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do this the Lord's way." You can pick some of those gods. You can pick what folk pick out in the world. You can watch E! News and pick what them folk on Hollywood do. But we going to serve the Lord. Yeah. See, we gotta stop making decisions on a whim. And how we feel. And what you think about this. We have to make sound decisions. We have to ask the Lord for wisdom. Notice this, to make choices, do your homework, do your research before you make the choices. Spend the time and energy and effort to be wise when we're making choices. We're talking about everyday living. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He tells us to slow down. And listen to the word of God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. Stop talking and listen sometime. Yeah, we don't know everything. Yeah, a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. Yeah, somebody that's older than you, they can tell you more than what you know. But I'm not saying that wisdom automatically comes with old age, but they've experienced more than you. At least sit down and listen to them. And be quiet, because you don't know everything. We don't know everything. We're talking about life, and I've just seen too many times that sometimes we just slow down and just watch sometimes. Watch people, watch wise people, how they make sound decisions and use God's word. Listen to James chapter 1. There are only two ways to get wisdom. He tells us, it's acquired. Get it. In other words, most wisdom, they'll just come out the sky to us. There's something that we have to experience through our own research, through our own knowledge, the counsel of others, listening to others, researching in ourselves. Says, get it. You have to go out and reach it and seek that wisdom. Some people just make decisions. The other way is that God gives you, if you ask God for some wisdom. The Bible says in James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And sometimes we read that passage and we don't believe that. There is wisdom in this passage. He says, if you lack wisdom before you make the decision, if you are unsure about something, and I just don't know, and I've talked to this person, and but I'm still not sure, have you talked to God about it? Notice this, before you make the decision, because see, once you rush into a decision, you've already skipped one of the ways to get wisdom. See, when you ask God, that means you're patient. That means you're humble. And sometimes when you just get on your knees, and we're talking to the saints this morning, if you get on your knees and you ask the Lord, Lord, I need you to guide me. I don't know what decision to make. That already gives you some comfort. It puts God in your graces, but it gains favor with God because God said, this child has sought wisdom from me. Amen. And I tell you what, it helps you not to rush into a decision. See, you're patient enough to just wait and ask the Lord and talk to God about it. He says, who gives all to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Yes, yes. Any major decision we make, you got a job interview, you're going into a new career. Don't just sign the papers because they asked you to come work for them. Oh, no. You need to research the company. Amen. Simple principles in life and all situations. Research the company. When I was being recruited, when I was in high school being recruited to play football, you know, all the school, they love you to death. Oh, Gary, yeah, you be the greatest thing. You come to my school. Come to my school. And it's flattering. Notice, you make the choice. Don't let others choose for you. Because, young ladies, you understand this. Now, if you see, listen, guys will choose for you. You have any kind of looks about you, they will choose you as you're walking, and you just, oh, he chose me. A whole lot of guys will choose you. But you need to choose them. Amen, somebody. Notice, because somebody is winking their eye at you or giving you something or saying hi to you, that means that they chose you for the moment anyway. But don't you automatically choose them because they chose you. You do your homework. Who's your mama? Who's your daddy? No, if you're in high school, listen, if you're in high school, don't you commit to know, this goes to our young men and our young ladies. Don't commit to no young lady who don't go to class. Don't commit to no young man who has a 1 point grade point average. Well, how am I supposed to know that? Ask somebody. Amen, somebody. I am dead. Don't commit to nobody who's going nowhere. You see, as soon as somebody say, hi, how you doing? They in your class. You don't know them from dot. And they just, how you doing? Ooh, can I have your number? Ooh, yeah, you can have it. we're laughing, but we do it every day. Listen, that can ruin the rest of your life. We're talking about living and every day. Take your time. That if that's not the only person in the world, you watch yourself. Watch individuals. You do your research and you choose. It's a principle that God has given us. You're an adult and you have a rent house and you want to rent your house out. And you put an ad in the paper and five applicants come and they say, the first applicant come to you, they want my house. They choosing this house. I want to stay in this house. Yeah, I want the house. What did it look like? You say, yeah, just sign right here. You can stay in my house. No, they chose you. But you do more than that to choose them. Why do you think big financial institutions, they get you to fill out this long paper? Because they want a history on you, to know about you before they give the keys to anything to you. Principle in life. Listen, this is simple principle God has given us. Get wisdom, get understanding, get knowledge before you make the decisions that will impact the rest of your life. And many folk in here would stand up and shout and testify, yes, yes, he's telling the truth. Because we've all made these mistakes, these rash decisions. Listen, I'm tell you something. I know it looks good on TV, but don't you go meet somebody 2 days and elope and go say, oh, we're in love and go get married. Don't do that. That's a dangerous proposition. And the choices we make. Lord have mercy. I just hope that we can learn from these. We can learn from decisions that we make, the choices that we make, that we slow down a little bit and allow God to speak to us. And I say I'm speaking to the young folk, but I'm not just speaking to young folks. Listen. And sometimes we beat out and we ignore. When we're grown, we sure think we know everything. And look, we made three mistakes. They all are very similar. They all are very similar mistakes. Listen, this principle, the only thing that will enrich your life better, you know, the Bible says that all things work to good together for good for them that are called according to his purpose. The only thing that will change your situation, though you've made bad choices, is to make some good choices. And if we keep going down the same road, the choice is going to keep beating us up over and over. The principle still applies whatever stage you are in your life, whether you're 10 or whether you're 80. Yeah. Lifeology. Because these are the things that haunt us and they ride us. And they take our morale and they take our energy from us and they take our productiveness from us when we are trying to live every day. And this is a principle that we cannot take control, take responsibility for the church. Stop blaming everybody else. Stop doing that and do it. Make the choice. But after the choice is made, whether you made the choice or whether the choice was made or whether you created the circumstance or you were subject to a circumstance. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, there are some situations that we create, we're in. Now you have some choices to make. There are some situations that happened to us we had nothing to do with, but you still have to make some choices. And what the Word of God, I believe, teaches us is to every situation that we are in. Listen to the book of Genesis in chapter 37 and read with me, if you will. I want us all to own our own attitude. Viktor Frankl, he said it well. You own your attitude. Make the choice. If you're going to be grouchy today, say in the morning, I'm going to be grouchy today. I'm making the, it's my decision. Because, see, listen, whether you say it or not, God is going to hold you to whatever attitude you have. It is your choice, nobody else's, no matter what happens to us. Listen to Genesis chapter 37, verse 2. These are the records of the generation of Jacob. Joseph is the key character in this story, was 17 years of age, was pastoring the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah, the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them, his brothers. And then the scriptures say in verse number 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a varicolored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved them more than all his brothers, so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. I wish I had the time to read all the story of Joseph and his brothers. Jacob had 12 sons. His father Jacob made a crucial error in his parenting. He treated this one boy better than he treated his other sons. And parents, we know that's a mistake. And we know what chaos can happen in our families when we play the favorites. God, the Bible says God is no respecter of person. God don't play the favorites with us. Everybody who obeys him is all right with God. And Jacob did this and gave Joseph a coat of many colors. But I'm going to tell you something. Joseph didn't have anything to do with that, how his father treated him. And Joseph wore that coat. And I say it simply because, see, you know, some mistakes we make, they cause chaos for a lot of people. But if we're talking about Joseph this morning, Joseph wore that coat. And Joseph was proud to wear that coat. Joseph embraced his situation. Now it seemed, I don't know, he might have went a little overboard because it seemed like he was not necessarily, he wasn't trying to stick his brothers in the back, but he announced everything. He had dreams, and he told his brothers, I had a dream that y'all gonna serve me one day. And you know how dangerous that can be when it comes to brother. You know how jealous we are anyway. I do something for my kids. If you buy one something, you better buy the other one. And mine wouldn't let me. If I bought one something, mine'd come and say, where is mine? And stand there until it appeared. And the grandchildren are worried. You pick up one and swing one. Do me. And that's how kids are do. But Joseph wore this coat. And the Bible says the brothers saw that his daddy loved him more than he loved the others. And they despised Joseph. But if you read the passage, you will see that did not affect Joseph's attitude. They despised Joseph, but Joseph still wore that coat. His daddy sent Joseph out to check on the boys. And Joseph went out to check on these boys. And they saw him from a distance. And they said, here's the dreamer. Let's kill him. Notice this. Now, the boys had control over their attitudes also. Now, they didn't ask to be put in this situation. But Lord have mercy, you see what it turned them to. Joseph's attitude, the boys, the Bible will say this, it says this. Listen to Genesis chapter 37 and verse 11. Genesis, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. Joseph told him the story of how they were going to worship him, and his brothers became even more jealous of him because of what he said. Now, we know that they may have been young, but you know what jealousy will do to you, don't you? Especially from the Word of God. Some of us now, we're in situations in our lives that whether you're a young person, you see another young man, he's athletic, he excels, the girls like him, and you start hating him because somebody else, he can't help it that he's good. And you let that rule your heart, you become jealous and something God doesn't want you to be. You control. Listen to the word of God in James chapter 3, verse 13. James 3, 13. We're talking about us owning our attitudes, the right attitude that would be pleasing to God. Who among you is wise? Here it is. And understanding. Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Now, although Jacob was wrong in the way he differentiated between his brothers, although Jacob was wrong, the right attitude from the brothers wouldn't be to be consumed by jealousy because of it. And they directed their anger at Joseph. And really, if you tell the truth about it, they shouldn't have been mad at Joseph. Who should they have been mad at? At their daddy. But you know, we'll pick somebody to demonstrate the way we feel, and we'll pick on somebody. And sometimes it's not the right person. Let me finish reading this passage. It says, verse 15, this wisdom is not that which comes down from above. Now, this is the word of God. This is the Bible. When you want to know how God wants you to live, how to have an enriched life, we're talking about wisdom. See, you get wisdom from studying the word of God, from counsel, and from asking God, what should I do? And so if you're in a situation where somebody is being treated better than you, what you shouldn't do is become jealous and envious and evil to them. That wisdom comes from God. We're talking about living everyday life, whether it's on your job. Sometimes a person will get promoted. Sometimes they treat people different on your job. But we don't know why. You don't know what all the reasons are. You know why you don't know all the reasons? Because you're not God. You don't know. Now, the Bible tells us why. It says why Jacob treated Joseph this way. Because he was the son of his old age. I'm not making excuses for Jacob, but see, sometimes you don't understand everything. Some of us in here right now, you know, when you get old, you get sentimental. Older. We get sentimental about things. See, some of us, we raised children when we were young, we made mistakes. And you know, then children, and then you made some of the children come on later on, and you try to make up for mistakes you made, and you go overboard, and you be too easy on somebody else. And see, notice this, but nobody else don't know why you're doing it, but you know why you're doing it, but you're steady messing up the way you're doing it now. What are you saying, Brother Gary? You don't know why people do what they do. The only person you can control is you. And you are jealous and mad. Look at him. He's wearing that coat. Think he's something. Talking about all these dreams and all that stuff. What's wrong? He ain't no better than us. And you are consumed with this wrath and with this hatred and with this anger. And it's affecting your work. It's affecting everything that you do. And God said, this is not from me. This wisdom, he said, but it's earthy, it's natural, it's demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing, and it will lead to your ruin and your destruction. If you're consumed by this. And his brothers, they were angry, and they said, let's kill him. Now this is their brother, let's kill a man. One of the brothers showed some wisdom. And he said, no, don't kill the boy. He's our brother. And he tried to save him. And they put him in a pit to save him there. And he was going to come back and rescue the boy. But as he was gone, they saw a caravan. And they said, look, let's make some money off this boy. And they sold. Listen, when evil gets in our heart, it makes us something that we don't recognize. Things you never thought you could do. When Satan consumes us and he messes up our lives. And that's exactly what those boys did. And they sold their own brother. But up to that point, Joseph, 17 years old, Joseph was having a good time. He's loving his life. He's wearing his coat. He's accepting all of this from his dad. He didn't hate his brothers. It seemed like he was just so naive and telling, look, y'all ought to be happy for me. I'm going to be ruler one day. And he's enjoying life. But you know and I know, just you can be enjoying life one day, but your circumstances can change tomorrow. And is that 9 o'clock? I can't, it's too much to go through, and I'm not going to rush through this in 15 and in 5 minutes. But Joseph's situation, he's embracing his situation at this point in life, and it's good. His brothers do not know, but they're going to pay a cost for their jealousy. And I don't know where you are today in your life. But I think back, and I was doing this last night. Maybe I think this is what woke me up last night. Because I know that some individuals are in here this morning, and you say my situation is harsh, is hard, is troubling, is depressing, and you're not managing well in your circumstance. You're not doing it, and you need to know from God's word, how can I do this better? But see, before we get deep into how we live, we need to save those who have made some of these decisions yet. What do you mean, Brother Gary? Some of our young people, Lord, look, you know, I think, Brother Ray, the elders here, before couples get married, young couples that's under the age of 30, before couples get married, and we do that now. They go, I know when I marry couples, I try to have at least 2 to 3 counseling sessions with the couples. That's, you know, and you know, it's difficult because of so much to go on, so much we're doing. Our elders would counsel. But before couples that are 30 years older and younger, they need to go to at least 5 counseling sessions. And if I'm going to marry her, I'm going to do at least 2 sessions. And you're going to do at least 2 to 3 sessions with one of the elders or one of the designated individuals that we have set aside that you must counsel with. Amen. That needs to be a rule. The Bible says wisdom comes from counsel. And it says to seek wise counsel. Because see, when you see counsel, see, like now when I counsel couples now, if you couples that know that when I counsel, 15 years ago, I was a little passive. You know, I know people coming, I know they giggling, they ready to get married. But yeah, we want you to marry. I say, yeah, come on, you're going to be married. But I don't pull any punches when I'm talking to couples now when it comes to getting married. Have you talked about this? How's your relationship with your in-laws? Who's gonna actually pay the bill? We both gonna pay. No, but who's gonna send it on? Who's gonna do it online? Or who's gonna ask? Well, we gonna take care. No, who's going to do it? Well, why are you doing that, brother? I thought she paid the house note and it wasn't paid. I'm gonna leave her. You didn't talk about that before. What we going to eat? Who's cooking? We're talking about life, wisdom. No, see, there are some things in the couples that I've counseled. You know I say this. There are some things in your life that you know are going to happen every day. If you arguing about those things every day, your chances of staying together are going to be. You arguing about, well, what we eating today? I don't know what we eating today. What we eating yesterday? Who's going to cook? Well, I'm not cooking. You must go. You going to buy it? Come on, You got kids. Who's going to pick up the kids from daycare? Who's changing the diapers? Choices. And so notice this. This wisdom needs to come before you make the final decision. It needs to come before. And the Bible teaches us that. But we don't take the time. We don't do our homework. And we make the choice. The choice is made. Listen, you here today, you're visiting. I got to stop. You're visiting. You choosing your faith. You choosing your church home. You choosing how you are going to govern. Notice this. Joshua said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord in every aspect of our life. So when my children ask me, are we going to, Daddy, we going to church? It's already, you know we going. You know there is no smoking in my house. You know there is no cursing in my house. Why? Because we are serving the Lord. And that's the kind of decision you make it on soundness. And if you're here today and you're searching, I would advise anybody, somebody, whether you are transferring your membership, you're coming from out of town and you're searching for a church home, do your homework. Don't just come in, this service was good. Well, Gary preached good today. This is just one Sunday. Every preacher got at least one good sermon. Every preacher got one. If he ain't got one. Yeah, people were friendly. They were friendly today. Well, they're friendly next Sunday. You're talking about being baptized. You're talking about saying, you hear today. The Bible says, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It tells us what we need to do to get in Christ. We teach it from the word, scripturally from the word. That you notice some of the members that's been in here a while, they want me to hurry up through the invitation because they've heard it so many times. But one of the things about, you see, the Bible says, even of God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I love same. I love that I don't have to, the sun gets up, it rises every day in the same place. I love that. If you have a business, you love it when you can set your watch on an employee. I know Jerry will be on time every day. So the way to get in Christ stays the same. Faith, belief in Jesus Christ through hearing his word. You must be willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. You must be willing to confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16. You be faithful unto death, God gives us a crown of righteousness. That's how you get into Jesus Christ, into his body, into his church. The church you can read about in the Bible, Acts 2:47, praising God and having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Romans 16:16, that's in your Bible. That's why our church is designated as not the church of John, not the church of Paul, not the church of Peter, but the church of Christ. Wisdom. We all need to be wise and we make our choices. Lord have mercy. Lord help us. Give us, increase our faith, increase our knowledge, increase our humility as we try to live our everyday lives, to help enrich our lives, to help us, Lord, quit making these bad decisions, bad choices that's just over and over. Let's stop it. Amen. You're here today, you need to be a Christian. Won't you come? If you're here today and you need to the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you today. Come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Here I labor and toil as I look for a home. Just then.